Welcome to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith from Fort Worth, Texas. For more than three decades, Pastor Gary has been encouraging people to know, love, and serve God. 2 Peter 1:3 says, "Do you want more and more of God's kindness and peace? Then learn to know Him better." This is the heart of true Christianity. When we know God, we will love Him, and when we love God, we will serve Him. Let's listen to today's message.
Week I began a new series, and on faith, I repeat this, but I need to repeat it. One of the real motivations of my life is to explore topics and themes and subjects that I feel people need to understand if they're going to live a victorious life. And I believe with all of my heart that God wants us to live a victorious life. He doesn't want us to just go through life doing a religious routine. He wants us to live victorious. And so we began this series on faith. And last week we talked about what faith is. Tonight I want to talk about how to activate faith in our lives. You know, you've heard me say this many times, our walk with God is a by grace through faith arrangement. Grace is His part and faith is our part. And one of my favorite verses in Romans 4, I believe it's verse 17, where Paul said, It's in accordance with faith that it might be by grace. Wow. So it always ends on grace. And yet, if it's a by grace through faith arrangement, and faith is our part, we need to know something about faith. We need to understand what it is. We need to understand how it operates. I want to use a very familiar text tonight found in Romans chapter 10 and verse 17. It says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the word of Christ." Hearing by the word of Christ. My goal in this message is to help all of us understand and learn the difference between natural faith and biblical faith. I want to, through God's help, identify faith's credentials. We all know that faith is standard equipment in human beings. It is native to our nature. We live by faith, exercising it 100 different ways every day. We sit in a chair by faith. We ride airplanes by faith. We take prescriptions we know nothing about by faith. From doctors that we know nothing about by faith. But we do not commit ourselves to Christ with the same kind of faith we use to sit in a chair. While God has given to every man the capacity to believe, biblical faith is more than simply transferring our natural faith to spiritual objects. Natural faith and biblical faith operate the same way. And I was thinking of what illustration could I use to explain the difference. Even though they operate the same way, they're on different realms, different dimensions, different wavelengths. And of course, when I thought of that word wavelength, immediately I thought of the difference between an AM and FM radio. We know they function in the same manner. You plug them in, you turn on the switch, you rotate the dial, you pick up a station. But news bulletin, you can't tune in an FM program with an AM radio. It will not function. It will not work. They operate in the same way, but in different spheres, different dimensions, different realms. Natural faith cannot operate in the spiritual realm. When I look at this text, I want us to look at the first statement that is made. Faith comes. You need to underline it. Faith comes. That suggests that if a man has biblical faith, it has to come to him from a source outside of himself. It does not originate within himself. Unlike natural faith, biblical faith is not native to man. Natural faith is inherent in man. Biblical faith is imparted by God.
Thank you, Lord.
We do not generate faith or work it up. Faith is not convincing ourselves that something is true. When someone says, "I just can't believe," he usually means he's having trouble convincing himself that something is true. And here's what I find in the church. To many Christians, faith is sort of a form of self-hypnosis. They try to talk themselves into believing. They sort of psych themselves up to a point where they believe, and then they hurriedly pray before it melts. Faith is not generated by us. It is generated by God, and it is given by God. It originates with Him. He initiates faith, and He imparts faith to us. Let me give you some verses tonight. 2 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Simon Peter, a bondservant, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who have received a faith of the same kind as ours. Notice, who have received a faith the same kind as ours. Ephesians chapter 2, verse 8. For by grace you have been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It is a gift of God. What is a gift of God? Faith is a gift of God. Philippians 1:29. For to you it has been granted for Christ's sake, not only to believe in Him, but also to suffer for His sake. Notice the wording. It has been granted for Christ's sake. What has been granted? To believe in Him. To believe in Him. So I have good news for you tonight, church. Our faith does not depend upon our ability to believe. Our faith depends upon His ability to impart it to us. No one can believe God unless God enables him.
Yeah.
I want to say that again.
Yeah.
No one can believe God unless God enables him. Nowhere is this more clear than in the words of Jesus to the unconverted Jews of his day. John 12, verse 37 through 40, a lengthy passage, but I need to read it all in order to see the message. Verse 37, but though he had performed so many signs before them, yet they were not believing in him, that the word of Isaiah the prophet might be fulfilled, which he spoke, Lord, who has believed our report? And to whom has the arm of the Lord been revealed? For this cause they could not believe. It didn't say they would not. It says they could not believe. For Isaiah said again, He has blinded their eyes and hardened their heart, lest they see with their eyes and perceive with their heart and be converted, and I heal them. Man. This is one of the most interesting verses in all of the New Testament. It's a striking example of men who could not believe because God refused to enable them to believe. If we have faith, the credit goes to God. We can't take any credit for it. The focus of our concern should not be upon our ability to believe, but upon God's ability to enable us to believe. When the conditions are right, and I'm going to talk about the conditions in just a few moments, but when the conditions are right, God will impart to us all the faith we need to trust Him in a given situation. Here's what I love. It is a fundamental tenet of grace that whatever God demands, God provides. When my children were small, they would ask me for money to buy me a Christmas gift on Christmas. Under the tree on Christmas would be a gift marked "to Dad" from Janae, or "to Dad" from Jason. It never entered their mind that they bought me a gift that was purchased with my money. It is the same with the faith we bring to God. We are simply presenting to Him that which He has given us. Let me say something to you tonight, friends. Whenever God puts us in a situation that demands faith, we can be assured that He will provide the faith that He demands. And He will never demand more than He has provided. Now, as E.B. Hill used to say, if that doesn't light your fire, your wood's wet. To know that He will never put you in a situation that demands faith and not provide the faith that the situation demands. And so tonight, we need to understand how faith is activated in our lives. How does God impart faith? If it comes from Him, if we must be dependent upon Him for it, how does that transaction take place? Well, let's go back to the text. Faith comes by hearing. Faith comes by hearing. And hearing by the word of Christ. And so it becomes very clear that the instrument God uses to impart faith is His word. Tonight I'm going to use two terms to help explain how God uses the word of God to impart faith to us. First of all, there is what we would know as the external word. You've heard this if you've been in any kind of faith church or heard any kind of faith teaching, because many of the faith teachers use the term logos, the written word of God. One of the most common misconceptions about faith is that it is a substitute for knowledge. Biblical faith is founded on facts. Facts that are found in the Word of God. So let me suggest to you tonight that biblical faith begins with a knowledge of God's Word. Without which there can be no genuine faith. I've heard people say, if you just believe with your heart, you'll get what you want. No, you won't. That is not biblical faith. Biblical faith gets what God says you can have. Because it comes from His Word. It comes from hearing His Word. It's not just something you can think up. It's based on the fact. In order to have biblical faith, you have to have facts from God. You must have a word from God on the matter. Hebrews 11:1, we all know it, defines faith as the assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen. One day I was looking at this passage and I thought, you know, this phrase, things hoped for, can be confusing if we don't understand the biblical use of the word hope. Because many times when we use the word hope, it implies uncertainty. We use it in the sense that we're wishing, and maybe it might happen, or perhaps it might happen. But I want to suggest to you tonight that there is not a trace of uncertainty in the biblical word hope. In the Bible, the word hope is based on divine promises. It is a word of assurance that we will receive what God has promised. You see, the only uncertainty associated with biblical hope is the time of the fulfillment. The things hoped for are the things God has promised. If God has not promised them, all the believing in the world will not obtain them.
Wow.
To discover what God has promised, we must go to His Word. One of the greatest concerns I have today concerning the American church, and I use this word very hesitantly, but I am concerned about the indifference and the ignorance that many believers have in reference to the Word of God. They don't study it. They don't read it. Therefore, it is no surprise that they do not operate in biblical faith. The instances of imperfect faith in the Word were directly related to imperfect understanding of the divine revelation. If you do not know the Word, you will have a problem having faith. If you do not know the Word, you will have a problem operating in faith. Let me give you an example of what I'm talking about. In Matthew 14, and again in Mark 6, we have the story that we're so familiar of the feeding of the 5,000. In Mark 6, after Jesus fed the 5,000, and that, how many of you agree, that's a miracle? I mean, that was an outstanding miracle.
Yeah.
5,000 men, one scripture says, besides the women and children. So possibly there's 10,000 plus. And all he had was what? Two loaves and three fishes, or I forget exactly what the little boy had in his lunch. And Jesus took it and he prayed over it and he broke it and he said, now distribute it. I'm sure those disciples had a quizzical look on their face, thinking, you think this is going to feed 10,000 people? He said, distribute it. And they started passing it out. And I love this. They fed every person in that crowd, and they had 12 basketfuls. How many disciples? 12. Each disciple got a basketful because of their lack of understanding how faith operates.
Wow.
But in Mark 6, after he fed the multitudes, they got in a ship, and he went to the bottom of that ship and went to sleep. And a storm came up. I mean a storm. And they say, if you've never been on a storm on Galilee, you really have never been on a storm. And they had to go wake him up and say, "Master, careth not that we perish?" But here was their problem. And I read this in Mark 6:52 from the Williams translation. "For they did not understand the lesson of the loaves."
Wow.
"Their minds were dull." In other words, they had just seen an unbelievable, miraculous miracle of taking a few fish and a loaf of bread and breaking it and feeding 10,000 people. Now let me stay with the biblical word, 5,000, okay?
Yeah.
5,000 people.
Yeah.
And yet they did not comprehend it. They did not grasp it. So when they got in the storm, they didn't understand. And they said, "Oh, Master, carest not that we perish?" And he got up and rebuked the winds and slapped them into submission, as if to say, "You unbelievers, you just saw the greatest miracle of your lives, and you don't think I can't handle the storm? I feel a quickening in my spirit tonight. I don't know what you're going through. I don't know what you're facing. But believe me, God can handle your situation. God can handle whatever you're facing. God can handle your challenge. And He, if you ask Him, will give you faith that meets the demand." Loaves, what did bread have to do with boats and walking on water? Their failure to understand the miracle of the loaves affected their behavior in the boat. And remember, underline it. The disciples gathered up 12 baskets of divinely produced food. That's one basket for each disciple. But the tragedy is they failed to gain insight from that miracle. The strength or weakness of our faith is directly related to our accuracy and our knowledge of God's Word.
Man.
Our faith,
Jesus,
depends on knowing something factual about God.
Yeah.
Faith is not a leap in the dark. It is a leap into the light.
Amen.
Hello?
Hallelujah.
Faith in the biblical view is a response on our part to the clear word from God. So faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We talked about the word logos, but there is another word that is used for word. I call it the internal word. But faith requires more than an intellectual knowledge of the Word of God. While we cannot have faith without knowing the Bible, it is possible to know the Bible and not have faith.
Wow.
I know a lot of Christians that know the Bible, but they don't have faith. The impartation of faith requires more than an intellectual knowledge of the Word. Let's look at the text and seek to understand Paul's meaning. Throughout the New Testament, two different words are used for the Word of God. The most frequent is logos, meaning the expression of a thought, a message, a discourse. When referring to the Word of God, it means the total revelation of God and all that God has spoken to man. But there is another word, translated word, and that is the word rhema. It's one of my favorite words. It has become one of my favorite words.
Amen.
Where logos is the written word, rhema is the spoken word. And here's what it is. It is an utterance or the concrete expression of logos.
Yeah.
Logos is the word. Rhema is a word from the word. Logos is the message. Rhema is the message spoken. Logos is the content of the message. Rhema is the communication of the message. When Paul uses this word in Romans 10:17, and he says, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the word, what he's actually saying in the original, and it reads in the original, faith comes by hearing, and hearing by the utterance of God.
Amen.
The utterance of God. He's talking about rhema. Notice that Paul makes a clear distinction between preaching and faith. Preaching does not produce faith. It is hearing. And the hearing to which he refers is not, listen to me, is not the hearing of the preacher's message, but hearing the utterance of Christ that comes forth during the message. The voice of Christ speaking through the message the preacher delivers. I believe every time I get up to preach, there's two dynamics going on. Number one, I'm talking and I'm sharing and I'm preaching. And number two, while I'm preaching, the Holy Ghost is communicating and the Holy Ghost is giving an utterance. And I hope the Holy Ghost is giving a message that you need to understand is a word behind the word.
Yes.
So all of this means that there must be spiritual hearing as well as physical hearing. I mean, you can't hear me if you don't have physical ears, but you can't hear him if you don't have spiritual ears. Hearing, a quickening of our spirit by his spirit that enables us to perceive the voice of Christ speaking to us through the word. So you said to me tonight, Pastor Gary, if this all is true, then how do I hear?
Man.
While faith is initiated and imparted by God, man is responsible for believing and is held accountable for any lack of faith. If we believe, it is because God enables us. But if we do not believe, it's our own fault. Later in this chapter, reference is made of Israel. Israel heard, but they did not believe. If hearing produces faith, why didn't faith come to Israel? And I want to close with this. A disobedient spirit makes hearing the word impossible. If our spirit is not open, if our spirit is not attentive, if our spirit is not willing, if we are not ready to hear and willing to obey, God is not going to waste time trying to speak to us.
Man.
My closing challenge for everyone that's hearing this message today is found in James chapter 1, verse 21. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. Receive with meekness the engrafted word. What is meekness? Meekness is a teachable spirit.
You have been listening to Enthroned Life, the pulpit ministry of Pastor Gary Smith. To receive more information about Pastor Gary or Enthroned Life Ministries, please email us at enthronedlife@yahoo.com. We appreciate you spending time with us today, and we hope you will join us again next week. Remember, when you know God, you will love Him, and when you love God, you will serve Him. Until next time.